But I mean, so many things have happened this week. It's hard to kind of figure out where to start and what to cover. And so what I like to cover is, first of all, the update we all have received, update number 951. And I want to quickly, very quickly go through it, because then I want to add a lot to it. But we have the editorial by Mr. Dave Harris, divinely warned, and he points out that at all times, God has actually warned the people of pending disaster. Once we have reached a point where there is going to be disaster, and in most cases people haven't listened, why should it be any different today? People are not listening either. Nevertheless, we have a duty to proclaim what is going to happen, and frankly, what is going to happen very, very soon. I'm skipping the current events for right now. I'd like to point out that we have the last part of the Q&A on indulgences. It's an 8-part series. In fact, there's another article which was published this morning on indulgences, where the Catholic Church made further quote-unquote adjustments. So we'll run that in the next update. It's an interesting conclusion to the matter, which is, of course, developing. But anyway, you want to read that because it goes into a lot of doctrinal errors of the Catholic Church and Christian concepts, so-called Orthodox Christianity, because all of that is intertwined and related. In the work section, we have a new member letter, which was written by Mr. Brian Gale, and he points out the quest for power by so many in society. But he also notes that many have corrupted and abused power once it has been attained. In addition, he draws a contrast to the spiritual power that people of God will receive in the kingdom of God, and to an extent which they have already received now if they have God's Holy Spirit within them. We have a new Standing Watch program out there titled, Should You Get Vaccinated Against Coronavirus? And this program goes into many different aspects. Again, making clear that the decision got to be yours. It's an individual decision, but the individual decision should be based on knowledge, on information. Shouldn't be an emotional decision. It should be one which is, in other words, supported by the facts as you have ascertained them. Then we have a German sermon out there, which was actually listened to today by the German audience over there. The English title would be, Does a Christian Have to Put Up with Everything? In German, Muss sich ein Christ alles gefallen lassen? In other words, how is it? Somebody hits you on the left side, do you have to then also ask him to hit you on the right side, and so on? What did Christ actually mean with those expressions? Anyway, again, this is a sermon which I intend to give whenever I have a chance in the future over here as well. Then we have the sermonette by Manuel Müller, Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think I have to translate that, Sodom and Gomorrah. So he gave that. And then, of course, we have the message from last Sabbath titled America in Crisis, Voter Fraud, Lockdown, and Harmful Vaccinations. I'll talk about that in a moment. And then we have the sermon posted by Michael Ling from last Sabbath, which was titled That Which Is Certain. As a short summary, in these times of uncertainty, it is difficult to predict what exactly will occur and how much time we in fact have left. However, God is very clear about what he promises and what will certainly come to pass in the near future, which is why it is vital that we remain close to God. Now I'd like to jump back and go to the current events. And as I said, many things have happened. This week, many things are happening as we speak. And so I'd like to start with the Supreme Court originally having agreed to hear the Texas lawsuit. The Texas lawsuit was filed by Texas and other states, and many other states had actually supported it. Many Republicans in Congress had supported it. But we did that, covered it in detail to set the stage what I anticipated might happen. So we explained what that lawsuit was all about, including the issue of standing, And we said in here that it was pointed out that Texas would be affected and harmed, as would be the entire country, if Joe Biden would become the president due to voter fraud in those named states, which were sued. In other words, the allegation was there is fraud involved, irregularities involved, and therefore the court should look into that. That was the allegation. And then we pointed out what was being presented in those decisions, or rather in these pleadings. And then we said this. Of course, the fact that the Supreme Court accepted to take the case and asked the sued states to respond to the allegations in the lawsuit does not mean that they will make a correct decision. No court so far has been willing to even acknowledge the evidence of massive voter fraud unparalleled in the recorded history of the United States. That is the allegation. I point out that this was the allegation. And sure enough, you probably all have heard it now, the court issued an order yesterday. Here it is. One-page order, unsigned. Let me read it to you. The state of Texas motion for leave to file a bill of complaint is denied for lack of standing under Article 3 of the Constitution. Texas has not demonstrated a judicially cognizable interest in the manner in which another state conducts its elections. All other pending motions are dismissed as moot. Statement of Justice Alito, with whom Justice Thomas joins, in my view, we do not have discretion to deny the filing of a bill of complaint in a case that falls within our original jurisdiction. See Arizona versus California, and they give the citation. I would therefore grant a motion to file the bill of complaint, but would not grant other relief, and I express no view on any other issue. What both judges meant to say then was they wouldn't grant any other relief at this point until the matter had been adjudicated in a trial. Again, a trial was denied. The interesting thing is only two went on record saying we disagree. You need at least four judges who would have had to agree to taking the case, which means that at least two of the judges nominated by President Trump voted against him and this case, maybe three, maybe all three. And so this is our comment which we are going to make in the next update. Texas clearly had standing, and the Supreme Court had a legal obligation to take the case. The outright denial without a hearing is a sad example of cowardice on the part of the conservative judges, with the exception of Alito and Thomas, who made the disagreement public, and of political motivation of the left liberal judges. This will backfire, as nearly 77% of Trump voters and over 35% of independents and Democrats believe that the election was stolen. While no court so far has had the courage to examine the facts in a trial and to get to the bottom of it. Those who claim that the election was stolen believe that they are truly witnessing a totally corrupt legal system. A lot more could be said, but at the same time, I want to point out what we are facing. And this is published in our update. I'm quoting from Breitbart, dated December 9. Google-owned video platform YouTube has announced plans to remove any content that questions Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 U.S. presidential election, despite the fact that legal challenges involving multiple states continue. In the blog post, YouTube writes on December 9, yesterday was a safe harbor deadline for the United States president election, and enough states have certified the election results to determine a president-elect. Given that, we will start removing any piece of content uploaded today or any time thereafter that misleads people by alleging that widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of the 2020 U.S. presidential election, in line with our approach towards historical U.S. presidential elections. For example, we will remove videos claiming that a presidential candidate won the election due to widespread software glitches or counting errors. We will begin enforcing this policy today and will ramp up in the weeks to come. The Ron Paul Institute added on December 10, for free speech advocates, this move is a raw example of corporate censorship. But Democrats and many liberals applauded the action. It appears that Big Brother is now being embraced as a protector of truth. We are watching free speech drain away to the applause of those eager for less freedom. That is what we are facing right now in the United States of America. Now, in our update, we only in passing spoke about the Hunter Biden scandal. In our new update, we will be speaking with lots of detail about the Hunter Biden scandal. We will be publishing articles, first from the New York Post editorial board, pointing out how the mass media systematically suppressed, intentionally suppressed this story, didn't want to say anything about it until after the election. Here's one of our comments we are going to make. There can be very little doubt, because now they're talking about, oh, there is now an investigation pending against Hunter Biden for tax fraud, and he might very well be indicted. And we say in here there's very little doubt that in this present climate, Hunter Biden will not be convicted for most of the crimes which he allegedly committed. And any alleged connection between Hunter Biden and his father, President-elect Joe Biden, will be carefully and systematically suppressed. And we are having a lot of articles pointing that out. There's one by Piers Morgan. You might have heard about him. He's not happy with President Trump at this point for not having conceded, but he nevertheless points out the absolute scandal which the mass media, CNN in particular, have suppressed this whole story. And we say in here that especially CNN is guilty of the systematic suppression of the Hunter Biden story. The political director, believe this or not, the political director of CNN advised his journalists and moderators not to report on the story before the election. Of course, most CNN reporters, we say here, and moderators are Democrats anyhow. Insofar as that's concerned, we have an article by The Hill, which we will publish at great length. But then we say this. The carefully staged suppression of Hunter Biden, that Hunter Biden story by the mass media and big tech to protect their political candidate, Joe Biden, is appalling and sickening. It shows once more the utmost corruption of a country which is doomed to fall very soon. We have a booklet out there, The Fall and Rise of Britain and America. America is falling. Now, I personally saw it a little bit differently as to what might happen. We haven't seen the final word and haven't gotten the final word yet. I thought Donald Trump would stay in power. You all know that. I've made this very clear from the pulpit that I believe that very strongly. Because I saw what is prophesied. And I saw that under Biden, certain of those prophecies couldn't be fulfilled. Now, we may have an interruption a bit, a delay in the prophetic developments. I was hoping, perhaps, that things would go faster. But of course, under a President Biden, other things will happen in this country. This country will be in complete lockdown for many, many months, if not more. There will be a domestic downfall for sure, a destruction. So maybe that's part of what has to happen first. I don't know. Again, we haven't seen the latest yet. Humanly speaking, you know, there is not much of a chance that Trump stays in power. But we're not talking about human expectations. We're talking about what God has in mind. And so there is a mass demonstration going on right now, as you probably know, in Washington. And people are extremely upset about the Supreme Court cowardness of not going into the issues. And all the courts, none of them has been willing to even look into the evidence. And so mass media is talking about there is no evidence, and of course there are hundreds of affidavits, that is evidence. Normally, a court, when a court receives a complaint and the other side responds, has a duty to go to a trial situation, go into the evidence, finding out what the truth is. None of the courts have done that. 50 decisions so far have been rejected. So, again, YouTube might say this is now one of these programs which have to be deleted because I'm saying things which I'm not allowed to say. I don't know. We'll find out in due time for sure. Did Joe Biden know anything? That's really the big issue, isn't it? I mean, here's Hunter Biden doing what he did. And Joe Biden has denied all along that he knew anything about it. Well, we'll have a new article by Fox News, which was published this morning. And the evidence seems to be pretty clear that he did know something about it. When he was asked yesterday by a Fox News reporter, what do you say about your son and this whole situation? All he said was, oh, I'm proud of my son. That's it. So anyway, you will read all of these articles, and by the time the update is published, probably a lot more, insofar as what is going on now, what kind of a consequence it will have, I don't know. But if it were Trump and these things would have been brought up against him, there would already be a lot of talk about impeachment and so on. In this present climate right now, it doesn't seem very likely, does it? I want to talk about Germany, because what's happening in Germany is another appalling, absolutely appalling situation, a development towards a dictatorship, the likes of which we haven't seen since World War II. We have an article here about Germany's deceitful restrictions, dated December 7 by Reuters, saying this. German leaders came out on Monday in favor of stricter measures to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Deutsche Welle added that Germany has been under partial lockdown since November 2. That was supposed to last 1 month. That's what the government promised the people. Oh, it's only going to last 1 month, till December 2. I mean, everybody knew that it was a lie. Sure enough, it was extended now to January 10. And there is no guarantee that they will then do away with the partial lockdown. In fact, there is a meeting tomorrow between Angela Merkel and the leaders of the different states discussing a complete total lockdown, which is supposed to be enacted beginning next Wednesday. And so what we are saying in here is the following. While the German government keeps on lying to the German people, who are in many cases gullible enough to believe the lies and the quote-unquote explanations by power-hungry and well-fed governmental officials, what else is new, question mark? Millions of lives are being destroyed. Millions of euros are pouring into governmental suitcases from fines for violations of corona restrictions. I've saw a list of the millions of euros which have already been retained by the government against those who didn't follow the coronavirus restrictions. A video is being circulated where police with machine guns, are patrolling the official trains in Germany, enforcing coronavirus restrictions, i.e. wearing a mask. The mayor of Berlin blatantly lied to the parliament when he told them that a Turkish man, 30 years old, got coronavirus and died in a Berlin hospital. The opposition party of the AfD checked that out and found there was no evidence whatsoever, no records, that anybody had died in the Berlin hospital of coronavirus. And then it was rectified. Oh, it was just a mistake. It was actually a truck driver from Romania, and he was very shortly retained in the hospital and then released as being healed. And the people believe all of this stuff. And most people in Germany are, according to polls, in favor of stricter restrictions. And a prospective member just wrote us about his experience. He went to a store to buy something, and he has a certificate from a doctor that he not only doesn't have to wear a mask, that he cannot wear a mask because of health reasons. And here is a guy shouting and screaming, you know, in the store, asking for the manager because this man should be taken out of the store, not wearing a mask. He is a danger to the public. And so then the manager told this guy, no, wait a minute, he can be here without a mask. And he kept yelling and screaming. And then, of course, the prospective member was very anxious to get the shopping done real quick to get out of there. That's the kind of a climate which we are having in Germany. But that's not all. That's not all. We are talking about how opposing views are being destroyed in Germany, and we have two articles in there by Deutsche Welle and by Reuters about Querdenken 711, or it is a group of demonstrators against the coronavirus restrictions. And of course, that cannot be allowed, right? You cannot have demonstrators against the coronavirus restrictions. So what's going to happen? What is happening? Well, we talk about the fact that the governmental security agency, tantamount to the FBI over here or CIA, they're getting involved, and they are now trying to suppress this group. I'm trying to look for the updated article. We have two articles in there insofar as what they are charging this party or this organization, it's not even a party, this organization with. Just give me one, here it is. And Breitbart reported it, because you see, you read the one by Reuters, you read the one by Deutsche Welle, and we even took out the most controversial statements they made, but we gave you a flavor as to what is actually being charged. But Breitbart did it right. I mean, it's interesting. They kind of told us to tell the whole story, and I'd like to read it to you. It's dated December 11. It started off by saying, Germany's domestic intelligence agency, the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, has claimed that the Querdenker, or the lateral thinker group, have intensified escalation potential, but also noted, see, Deutsche Welle and Reuters didn't report that, also noted that many small anti-lockdown protests have been largely peaceful. According to a report by Deutsche Welle, members of the Querdenker movement in Baden-Württemberg, where we have our church, by the way, registered, are under observation. After the region's interior minister, Thomas Strobel, announced the move earlier this week on Wednesday. And then there are other political figures quoted that, yeah, this is a very dangerous group and so on. Violence, now notice this, violence against Querdenker members has also been seen in recent weeks. And at first we are being told, well, this is kind of a peaceful group, more or less, and here comes violence against them. That has also been seen in recent weeks, particularly from Antifa counter-protesters in various cities across the country. In November, police in Frankfurt were forced to use water cannons to dispense a far-left extremists who denounced the Querdenker movement as Nazi propaganda. That's always nice to say, oh, it's Nazi propaganda, so you have to get rid of those people. In Leipzig, Antifa members brutally attacked Querdenker members with 15 to 20 black-clad extremists surrounding and beating two men, stomping and kicking their heads. Police were forced to fire a warning shot in order to disperse them, and the Leipzig police far-left extremism task force launched an investigation to identify the Antifa attackers. So we ask the question, we are going to ask the question, who then are the real violent troublemakers? Querdenker members or the far left extremists like Antifa? And why are German governmental politicians so desperate in their attempt to control and silence those citizens who are concerned about draconian restrictive measures such as a new lockdown? Well, of course, the answer should be rather obvious. We also talk in our update about the reactions to coronavirus restrictions. We talk about it in our new Standing Watch program, which you should definitely watch if you haven't already done so. But here's a follow-up article, which was published today, and this goes even a little bit further. First, they talk about, only yet you had strong allergic reactions to certain vaccinations. You probably shouldn't take the vaccine against coronavirus, or you should be careful or whatever. But now they went a step further. The UK at least did go a step further and said this, irrespective of an individual's allergy history. In other words, it doesn't matter how strong or how mild it was, people with allergies will not even get the vaccine. They won't even get it. See, they are aware of the potential dangers when you have this vaccine. Now, again, I know the whole political spectrum, left, right, center, they all are talking about getting it, and that will be the miracle cure against the coronavirus. If you want to believe that. In our Q&A, we also talked about the situation in England. Not Q&A, in our current events. We talked about the situation in England, and it appears more and more likely now that there is not going to be a deal. So it will be ending up as a Brexit without a deal. Now, this will have dire consequences, both for the United Kingdom and also for Europe. Here's an article which was published this morning, because we did talk about the fact that the fishing rights situation seems to be the big issue here. The French, in particular, want to fish in UK waters, and of course, the UK is not going to see that in very friendly terms. The Daily Mail wrote about this. 4 Royal Navy vessels will be dispatched to Britain's territorial waters if a trade deal is not agreed with the EU. Armed with cannon, machine guns, they will patrol the English Channel and Irish Sea to stop illegal fishing. Wildcat and Merlin helicopters are also being placed on standby to help with coastal surveillance. And military personnel have been seconded to the Joint Maritime Security Center to help deal with any clashes in fishing grounds. The naval ships would even be ordered to impound French fishing vessels. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen insisted that European boats have a legitimate expectation to maintain access to British waters, as they have done for decades and sometimes centuries. And so the article is asking, are we going to see now something which happened before, which is called the Cod War of the 1970s, when the Royal Navy stopped Icelandic boats interfering with British ships? And I'm asking the question, are we seeing some kind of a prelude of the prophesied war between the United Kingdom and the EU? These are all questions we should consider and we should look at, because under a Biden presidency, we know what's going to happen. I was just reading an article about it this morning. Israel will be way down on the totem pole of importance. The most important aspect, according to Biden, is going to be bringing about friendship again between the United States of America and Europe, meaning Israel and the UK will be thrown under the bus. So again, maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe that's what's supposed to happen. We'll see. We'll find out. We are watching. We are standing watch, because again, it is something which, you know, we might have a pretty good idea. We know what the big picture is, but when it comes to the smaller aspects of it, you know, again, we think maybe, and God thinks differently. But there's one other thing I'd like to mention to you, which I haven't talked about yet, but we have a new editorial which is going to be published this week by René Messier. And I'd like to just read this paragraph from the editorial, because he's talking about truth and lies. And it says in there and here that Satan was guilty of what he was accusing God of, and that is lying. We see this approach today in some politicians. One in particular was accusing the President of the United States for 4 years of being a Russian spy, a collaborator with and an agent for Russia, which was a blatant lie without merit or proof, but the mainstream media ate it up and spread that lie. In the last few days, it has been revealed that in the past, that politician was apparently associated with a real Chinese spy who helped him raise money to get into Congress. So what he accused the president of was what he seemed to have been guilty of himself. This may help to explain why few people believe what politicians say. Very well put. There's a lot more in this editorial. You have to read it. You have to read the update when it comes out next week. There will be opposing voices. There will be those who are trying to stop us. I know that. I know that. But we also know that God is a lot more powerful than any force and any power. So we are going to do what we are going to do. And I got some nice, interesting memos from some of our viewers and readers saying, congratulating us for our boldness, our dedication toward pointing these things out, because in many cases, even insofar as other churches are concerned, so they say, these things are not being pointed out. So we will continue doing so. As long as God gives us the opportunity and the power and the strength and the means to do so, we will. We will not shrink away from the truth. We will tell you what the truth is, what is out there. And of course, when it comes to the corruption in this country and around the world, we shouldn't be surprised to see the developments. They will continue. This is Satan's world. We should know that. And Satan has his people in high, powerful positions. But you see, God will intervene when his time comes, and he will not allow Satan to do anything which is against his plan. And his ultimate plan is, as we know, that Christ will return soon, but before that, we have what it's called the Great Tribulation, a terrible time. A terrible time of unparalleled sorrow, of unparalleled disaster. And we all need to make sure that God will count us worthy to be looked upon as those who can escape these terrible times and to stand before the Son of Man when he returns. And as we have said so many times before, one of the best ways of overcoming your own personal problems, and who can say that you don't have any personal problems, is to be actively involved in the most important work on this earth, a work which is proclaiming the kingdom of God and the gospel of the kingdom of God. As Mr. Armstrong has said, if you don't do it, I mean, God will still work it out somehow that it's going to be done because it's prophesied, but it will be done without us. How much more important would it be that it is done through us? And we all have a part in this, and we all should have a part in this, and we all should make sure that we are participating in whatever way we can in fulfilling that prophecy, that commission, because unless it's being fulfilled, Christ cannot come back. And we are not those, I hope, who want to be guilty for delaying the return of Jesus Christ.